Are we going?
Into podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
But how's it called? Billis Major at your service.
Don't forget me.
Sarah, did you forget me?
Oh, let's go! That's class!
There is no such thing as...
Doctor Who Series 5, Episode 6, The Vampires of Venice.
So, no, I'm not going to do it.
Vampires of Venice.
Bleh. Vampires of Venice. Bleh. It's a vampire going bleh.
What the hell is this? Is this the most big Finnish episode of Series 5?
This is the most, I have no idea what they were thinking of episode of this. But not in a bad way and not in a good way, just in a. We'll get to it. Vampires of Venice. Broadcast. May 8th, 2010. May the 8th be with you. What was number one at the box office on May 8th?
May 8th.
I can give Let you me think. I can give you a clue. It stars Elon Musk.
Is it How to Train Your Dragon?
No, it stars Elon Musk.
Oh, Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Get that shit off my screen. He doesn't star in it. He's in one scene.
Is genuinely like the worst one scene performance I've ever seen in my life. He's like, hi, how are you? And it's just
like,
so,
hey Tony, how are you?
How are you? It's like, did you just like, is he reading it off a card? Like, what's going on? There's like no like.
Mr. Musk. How are you?
Congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you very much.
Elon,
hey.
Those Merlin engines are fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Good idea for an electric jet.
You do?
Yeah.
Then we'll make it work.
Directed by Johnny Campbell, who I got to tell you about Johnny Campbell because Johnny Campbell's career is crazy. So he directed this movie called Alien Autopsy. And it's about, like, you know, that alien autopsy video that, like...
Yeah. Is it about those fake alien autopsies?
Yeah, but it's basically, it stars these guys called Ant and Dec, who are, like, the, like, British light entertainment hosts, like, that you go to for, like, everything. It'd be, like, I'm trying to think. It'd be, like, Ryan Seacrest? Who was the other American Idol host that was... It was, like, Ryan Seacrest and someone else. What was his name?
Oh, fuck. The thing is, I just saw an hour and 47 mm-hmm. video about American Idol, so I should know.
Mm-hmm.
He left after the first season.
Yeah.
His name was Brian Dunkelman.
Yeah, it'd be like if Brian Dunkelman and Brian Seacrest made a movie about stealing the alien autopsy video that somehow starred Harry Dean Stanton and like Bill Pullman and stuff. It's very, very strange, but he directed that. He also directed episodes of Westworld, an episode of Dracula, and his latest movie, he's making a follow-up to Alien Autopsy, is a David Quepp. I never remember how you would pronounce David Quepp's. I've done three different pronunciations of David, K-O-E-P-P. It's a movie he wrote based on a book and stars Liam Neeson and Joe Keery, which is a very potent combination in 2025.
It's no juror number 13, but we'll let it pass. I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for you. This is an important question. I opened up the Alien Autopsy Wikipedia page here,
mm-hmm.
And it brought up a question I've had for a long time, but I've never actually asked it to anyone who is from the island you're from. Why are movie posters over there rectangular, like horizontally?
I've always wondered this as well because I think it's just the way cinemas are set up over here that it made more sense than the rectangular. But it always looks so kind of clumsy. I prefer the classic one sheet that's up, not across. I'm also noticing here that who is Michael? I'm trying to figure out. Some like tennis player played like the young Harry Dean Stanton apparently in that movie. I'm not sure who that was.
I don't know why you think I would know this, but I'm too busy. I'm too busy erasing all I know about Vampires of Venice from my brain.
Oh, you know who? Genuinely, you know who's an alien autopsy?
Who? Oh my god!
As TV news anchor, Lachelle Carl, aka Trinity Wells.
Okay, that's fine.
As a TV, it's Trinity Wells as herself.
For contest listeners, let me explain why I had such a vicious reaction to what David was about to say. We are recording this right after our 11th hour episode, and to those who listened, there were constant mentions in that episode of a certain American actor that culminated with me say, "Please stop mentioning this actor." So, for a second there, I honestly thought that was where you were going, but you weren't. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I will share with you a fascinating fact. In response, which is Jonathan Frakes is in Alien Autopsy as himself.
Yeah, Jonathan Frakes should be in the show.
Were you ever on an Alien Autopsy movie?
No,
I don't think so.
We made that one up, but that show, by the way, there's the thing about that show, because you know it's all about like, you know, fact or fiction, whatever. All the fact segments, for the most part, are not so much based on fact; they're based on like testimony collected by this guy who wrote those kind of books are like, you know, 101 crazy things you'll never believe happened. They're always like based on like, you know, bullshit. They're always just based on stuff he put in books like 10 years before they made those episodes.
Someone with a lot of time should do a version of those, but they're just describing Doctor Who plots. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Vampires in Venice? Well, have you ever seen the Pandorica open? What would you do if Amy's Choice?
What would you do if there was a last photograph from 2017, written by Toby Whithouse. And the thing about Toby Whithouse was writing an episode about a labyrinth, and they were like, "This is too similar to like other episodes. Can you put that next season?" Which they did. It's called The God Complex. So he, this is just Wikipedia. He was asked to write something quote romantic and also quote a sort of reboot episode. Which this kind of is.
What?
Yeah, it kind of is and isn't.
Oh, because it's adding Rory to it. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in a sentence, to save their relationship, the Doctor brings Amy and Rory to 1500s Venice, where they discover a school for girls that she affronts for alien prawn vampires who want to repopulate their species. But the Doctor stops them, but not before their leader tells them how they fled from cracks through which they saw silence, etc., etc. And then Rory joins the team. Something I want to compare this to before we talk about how I think this is like the worst direct episode I've seen in a long, long time. Because this episode, there's so much in this episode where I'm like, did they do this in like one take and then move on? Comparing this to the last time we had like a couple where there was like a kind of a love triangle of sorts. Which would be series two, and you have like the 10 Rose Mickey kind of dynamic where, like, you know, he's like, "Oh, Mickey, come along." And Rose's like, "Oh, does he have to?" Whereas in this one, you know, the whole crux of Amy is the one who's like, you know, "Can you please come? Can you please, like, just hang out with us? You know, please come with us." I think it's interesting dynamic compared to that. It's much more kind of refreshing. I think it's a really interesting dynamic to bring into the thing, you know, that like, you know, they both want to be here, they both want to have fun, they both want to, you know, see the world together. It's kind of unfortunate, like the next two episodes, one of them is, you know, set in a fantasy world where, you know, nothing's actually real and Toby Jones is like hanging around, and then the other one, Rory dies. So it's kind of like, there's never really time to like delve into like this dynamic, unfortunately. But
the best bit I remember this episode as being much more about the Rory being like, "I hate that this guy's hanging out with my wife," which is not. I will give them that. The episode is much more about Rory being like, "You've done something to Amy that's actually made her like put herself in danger. And as the person who's going to marry her, I'm worried about that," which is a very fascinating thing to put into the episode. They don't do that with Mickey and 10, if I remember correctly. Like, Mickey at no point is like, "Like, you've turned Rose into this, like, this, like, person who's, like, incessantly chasing danger." But that is nothing to do with the plot, right? Apart from the bit where Amy decides to go in, you know, to infiltrate the thing and, like, pretend to be a student so that she can find out what's going on. Apart from that bit, that conversation that the Rory's having with the doc, with the doctor, has nothing really to do with the episode. Mm-hmm. And I think the, as a result, it really does feel like there's two halves. The half where they're like, are these vampires? And then the half where they're like, how do we stop the fish people? And the second half, both halves are like equally boring to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
But the second half is more boring to me because there's no mystery too. You're just kind of like waiting for them to like fix the situation. And then the fix kind of comes out of he climbs a tower, and that is a thing. The best parts of this episode was when Matt Smith is talking to Helen McCrory in the lobby location there, and they're like, "Hey, I'm gonna guess you're this," and then she's like, "I'm gonna guess you're this." Those are the two best bits of this episode. And then later when she's about to die, she's like, can you carry in your conscience another dead race?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two best bits of this episode. And it's sad to say these bits are unrelated, you know? Like, they have nothing to do with the rest of it. Like, they kind of... He has that conversation with Rosanna, whatever her name is. I am so sorry. The doctor has a conversation with her, and then he kind of just walks away, right? And it's like, you're not going to kill him? He's going to stop you. He just said, I'm going to stop you. You're going to let him walk away? There's no reason why you're going to do that. And so it just kind of feels like everyone is waiting around for everyone else to do the next move.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and unfortunately, that makes it a very boring thing to watch. I'm so sorry, guys. It was like, it was honestly, I was so tuned off.
Mm-hmm. The problem, I think, is that it's just, as you said, quite boring. But also, mm-hmm. when, like, it just feels like everyone is kind of either asleep at the wheel or just kind of being wasted. Like, Helen McCrory is just completely, like, it wasted completely in this thing.
She has way too much sexual chemistry with the guy playing her son.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point where it's like, this is a little bit weird.
The problem is,
also, sorry, I just need to tell you something. I just, because this bothered me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, okay, these guys are vampires, so they obey the usual vampire rules, including they don't like sun.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they do. They can kind of just walk around in the sun, which mm-hmm. they do constantly. And it's like, what rules of vampire? It really does feel like they had a good idea, which is, what if you went to Venice? What if you went to Venice? And then you found a bunch of vampires, but there are people pretending. And then there's that line where it's like, what are they if they're so comfortable with letting us think they're vampires?
Mm-hmm.
And then the explanations as to why they match the vampire myth are really fun and interesting. Like, when she's like, yeah, your self-preservation overpowers my perception filter, so you see our teeth like vampire fangs. But at the same time, it's like, and then what else? Like, and then what else we're going to, are we going to do anything else with that? Or are we just going to stop there? Because mm-hmm. they just kind of stop there. And then it's like, and then I guess they're going to sink Venice. And then he stops them. It never really feels like there's any stakes. It never really feels mm-hmm. propulsive. And I'm really sad to say that, because it really is like a surprising amount of like production design. It looks so mm-hmm. good. Because they shot this in Croatia, and it pays off in dividends. Mm-hmm. It looks so good. It feels like they're really traveling in time. The only episode that really feels like they travel back in time and not just and didn't just go to a like a set the BBC had was like Shakespeare Code. That was the mm-hmm. one that felt the most like, oh, they're actually in like a different location.
Mm-hmm.
And this feels so much like they are in Venice. It took me a while. Like when they said this was filmed in Croatia, I was like, wow, I would never have to be able to tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a shame that all of that work and all of those costumes and all of those like really great little details kind of don't gel up or coalesce into anything more than like a listless story.
Mm-hmm. I think it's quite funny as well that the resolution to this is he climbs up and he flicks an off switch and it just turns everything off and everything's fine. It's really like, you know, I don't know what we were expecting.
When she's like, did you really think psychic paper would trick me? It's like, then why wait until now?
Yeah. The other thing as well is that, like, she has a big moment where she's like, you know, you never stop me. And he's like, well, they're all dead. She's like, what? Okay, well, I'm just going to leave. Have fun. Goodbye. And then we don't really see her again. I don't know. It's kind of funny that, like, they really kind of bank on these vampires being so iconic. But, like, all they do is go like, hey. Like, the problem I have, it goes back to, like, how some elements of this story, like, you have this great, like, location that they shoot, like, beautifully, but there's so many elements where it just feels like, you know, it's been cut to, like, really, like, weird rhythms. Like, the bit where, and to say, it's kind of crazy, the guy's name is Guido, it's the most Italian name.
Yeah.
Offensive Italian.
What is his deal? I thought it would build up to, like, oh, he's, like, hypnotized, because he's not a vampire. So what is his deal? And then there's a moment where she reveals herself, and he's like, "Ooh!" And then they're like, and then the son is like, "You should hide. You gotta hide your identity." It's like, from who? You all know that she's a vampire. Like, what is going on here? Like, what is the purpose of all of this?
The guy that they're hanging out with, Guido. I'm not the dad with the bit where he like blows himself up to, like, you know, he's like, where are the nations? The way they cut that is so crazy. Like, it just cuts to, like, Matt Smith running away. There's like no like it just feels like they had the footage that they had to use. It's all like the fight scenes are like framed really awkwardly. They're cut really awkwardly. The whole, God love them, like the whole final sequence is like ambition. Because it starts, like, upping the stakes so constantly.
But yes. They're like, okay, he's going to climb up. He's going to do this. He's got to go. It's raining. It's this and that. God.
It looks bad. It just doesn't look great.
It does. The thing that got to me was that you can clearly see the edges of the green screen because Matt Smith's hair is a pain in the ass to rotoscope out.
The thing as well is that, like, apparently they only had the budget to do the whole, like, fish vampire, like actual shots twice in the episode, which you can tell because it only happens, like, you only see her as a full prawn thing, like, twice. But, like, as a result, like, you don't really get that much, like, because it comes down to, like, human performance. And, like, as I said, all the vampires were doing are going, like, whenever they get close to someone. And those teeth, so the teeth, like when the son's trying to do that scene when the son is like challenging Rory to a fight, it's like, because the teeth are so awkward, like everything's all ADR'd and it's so like clearly ADR'd to the point where like it just takes you out of it because like you're like, you can tell like, oh, they recorded all this dialogue like months later in the booth because like the sound quality is off as well a little bit. Like the mix just is it's just off like that one degree where like you can tell this wasn't coming out of his mouth at the time. But that guy's performance as well, as you said, is so it feels so off. Like whenever he has a scene with her, it just feels so weird just to have these like two guys. You know, I don't know.
I also think a lot about. Okay, I want to talk about. The guy, the father, right? So the father has this bit where they dress him up in Rory's staff clothes, right? Which is, it is objectively a funny image. I will not lie to you and say, too dumb. Like, no, it's hilarious when you see Rory with the clothes and then later you see him with Rory's clothes and you go, yeah, that's where he got the clothes from. Funny image. But like 5 minutes later, he's doing this emotional sacrifice and then they just move on from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and moving on. So it's like, it really got to me how whatever it was, you know, like how like, we have this objectively funny joke, but at no point are we like, hey, we want to like talk to him and be like, hey, how do you feel about the fact that you know these people are from the future, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, how do you feel about that?
And he just saw his daughter die in front of him as well.
And his daughter die, yeah. Right? And his daughter dying also feels like again, she can't leave because it's sunny. Mm-hmm. And when she dies, it's in the middle of the fucking sun. It's sunlight. So I'm like, what is going on here, guy? Like, I think what is going on here is the best way to describe this. Mm-hmm. Because the whole time you're like, why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. You know?
It's just like, yeah, like it. There's just so much of it where it just feels like, you know, they want to show off, and that's the nothing wrong with wanting to show off. You know, we all show off, but like it feels like their way of wanting to show off is so outside of their means to actually do that. Like it never feels convincing, and never feels like, you know, a natural extension of what's going on. Instead, it's all cut awkwardly. It's. I understand why this happened, but it's so funny that, like, at the, you know, the big BBC Proms concert for, like, you know, here's all the music from the show, that among, like, the monsters they had, like the Silurians, Dalek Simon, they had the vampires as well.
Yeah.
And so
it's iconic.
It's just because they're just people in nightgowns. It's probably easiest to, like, you'd be like, you know, there's not enough maybe some makeup just make them look really pale and, like, really kind of, like, you know, vampire-ish, but, like,
mm-hmm.
The iconic monster.
His iconic chicken, yes.
His iconic chicken. I don't know. Like, Darvill is funny, I think. I think they're all fun. Like, I think I don't think anyone's like bad, maybe beyond like this. Well, I don't know if the sun is bad. I think the sun's just kind of like not given a lot of great stuff to work with. I think mm-hmm. all the performances are good and their interplay is good. I just don't think anyone really has time to like settle on an idea of what their character is meant to be in the moment that they have, you know, anything to do. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work sometimes as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as I said, it is quite funny that the whole resolution of this episode is let me climb up this tower and flick an off switch and then climb back down. And then that's about it.
And then at the end, he talks to her and they have this whole conversation. It's like, this is an actually interesting point. Again, it really does feel like when they bring up the parallels of she's the last member of her race and she's doing something desperate to save her race,
mm-hmm.
you know, it really does feel like, and what are we going to do with that? Nothing. Like, why did we bring that up? If we're not mm-hmm. going to do anything. So
what they do bring up though is the fact that there are cracks, and through the cracks they saw silence and the end of all things. Which when you watch the episode that has silence in it, you have to wonder, what do they mean by that? Because
yeah, what did the silence do?
Yeah, as well, the fact that like it ends with like, you know, one of the funniest endings of Gladiator, where it goes silent and it's like all Eddie or Darlak and like, you know, can you hear that? What? It's just silent. And then they go to the whole shot into the keyhole. It's just, oh god.
It's the Next Time trailer, mm-hmm. which is about like the fucking, you know, which is about Amy's choice. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just think, personally speaking, I think it was the reason I said, I think it's very mean to say this is the most Big Finish episode, because I think Big Finish would have more of a plot. Mm-hmm. But
well, it did do a Venice episode, a Venice thing, of course. So.
Yeah. I think the thing that got me the most, personally, is that there is a Big Finish audio that is about this, right? Like, yeah, there is a Big Finish audio where they go to, where the Eighth Doctor goes to Venice mm-hmm. with Charlie Pollard, and mm-hmm. they do this. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Weird. Yeah,
I've got two things I want to say before I'm out of notes.
Yes.
One of them is that, it's going back to the first, it's going back to like 11th hour where Rory has, and he has the same phone here, the most like, you know, early 10s smartphone. Amy doing duck face for that selfie is the most like.
Oh, I actually really like that bit. Yeah. I think that was the best bit, because the whole time I was like, like, guys, we all like to say, what if I could have a back in time? The reality is we would do this. Mm. We would do this. We would do this, and we would fucking, like, take photos in the past.
Mm-hmm. Doing the gritty for the TikTok next to, like, Galileo, where Galileo looks on like, I want to kill you.
telling Einstein about Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
You're in this movie called Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. What have I done?
In 20, he does the Oppenheimer stare, and then someone shows him the edit of RDJ's character in Oppenheimer and Sidney Sweeney's character in Euphoria, where like they compare both of them. The other thing I want to say is that my favorite vampire is Marlowe from 30 Days of Night, played by Danny Houston. What a vampire!
End the episode now. End the episode. We'll see you at Amy's Choice. Bye. Bye.
I do actually have one more point, which is that
if you say Danny Houston,
I'm not going to say Danny Houston. I'm not going to say it. Okay, I'm not going to say it.
Go on.
I do think it's kind of weird that he played Frankenstein as well as a vampire. But that's
bye. Bye. See you at Amy's Choice. See you at Amy's Choice.
Next time on Pod Tour, who cast?
Oh, look at you both 5 years later.
Time to sleep. Or are you waking up? If you're the Time Lord, let's call me the Dream Lord. Two worlds. Here, in the time machine. And there, in the village that time forgot. One is real. The other's fake.
Trouble is, Rory, Amy, which is which?
So here's your challenge. If you die in the dream, you wake up in reality. Ask me what happens if you die in reality.
What happens?
You die, stupid. That's why it's called reality. Pick a world, and this nightmare will all be over.
This is going to be a tricky one.